This episode of the Autism Dad Podcast is brought to you by Mightier. Mightier is a biofeedback-based video game platform out of Harvard Medical and Boston Children's that utilizes video games to help kids learn to emotionally self-regulate. My son Emmett has been using it for years. Emmett, could you take a minute and just kind of tell us how you use Mightier?
Well, there's this heart rate monitor that you wear on your arm and you connect it to the tablet that comes with it or just your phone. And you play all these cool games. When you get too stressed or angry, the games get harder and harder. And so you have to calm yourself down, and the game gives you ways of doing that. Once you do that, you can just continue playing the game as normal.
So over time, it sort of helps you to recognize how you're feeling?
It's sort of like building up muscle memory. Like you repeat something over and over, and so you don't have to like think about doing it anymore. Sort of like driving.
Thanks, Emmett. If you're interested in learning more about Mightier, you can do so by visiting Mightier.com. That's M-I-G-H-T-I-E-R.com and use the discount code TheAutismDad22 to save 10%. My name is Rob Gorski. Welcome to the Autism Dad Podcast, where we talk about all things related to parenting and autism and being a mom and a dad and mental health and self-care and all those things that are important and relevant to your life that maybe you don't know where to go to find more information about. I try to take on topics that aren't always easy because we should be able to talk about stuff, even if it's hard. Even if we don't agree with someone else's opinion, we can learn from their perspective. And I try to embrace that and bring that to you every week on this show. So thank you for tuning in. I really do appreciate that. I'm really, really excited about today's show because I'm a big fan of technology. I have been forever. I'm a firm believer that when used appropriately, the right technology can have a positive impact on just about anybody's life. And this is especially true when it comes to families like mine and families who have kids with disabilities or kids that are on the autism spectrum or kids with ADHD or depression or anxiety. I mean, there are tons of families out there who can benefit from technology, but it's not always easy to find the right tech for your needs, right? And the most commonly used, most widely used technology in today's day and age that we use every day without even realizing it most of the time are apps. Apps are everywhere. Apps are on our phones, they're on our tablets, our watches, they're in our computers and on our game systems, they're even in our cars and on our kitchen appliances. You know, I mean, they're everywhere and there are millions of them. How do you even begin to navigate this vast ecosystem of apps and find the ones that are suited for your family's needs? How do you find an app that can help your child with a disability better navigate everyday life? It's a daunting task, it's overwhelming, and my guest today is Kristen Reet. She co-founded a company called Bridging Apps. They are now part of the Easter Seals, and she's here today to talk about how Bridging Apps is helping families navigate this ever-growing ecosystem of apps and find the ones that are safe and appropriate for their child with a disability. So thank you, Kristen, for taking the time to come on the show. Could you take a moment, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and then let's kind of dig into Bridging Apps and how you're helping families.
Sure. So thank you so much for having me. My name is Kristen Reet, and I am the co-founder and program director of bridgingapps.org. It's a website, it's a tool that focuses on mobile technology, things like apps that go on smartphones and tablets, and how they can help people with different disabilities.
So your mom, and we talked briefly before we started recording. You want to tell us about kind of your journey as a parent?
Sure. So I am a mom of two boys, and my youngest son, Vincent, who just turned 19, which is really hard to believe. He was born with Down syndrome. And later on, he didn't act like a typical kid with Down syndrome. I know a lot of families who have kids with Down syndrome, and he was pretty different. And so later he was also diagnosed with autism and later diagnosed with a visual impairment. So we kind of have a lot going on. And when he was younger, he was in a specialized preschool, and we were about to, when he turned six, going to mainstream him into a small charter school. And throughout that process, right around 2010 is when the iPad came out. And because of his visual impairment, we understand all this now, but back at, you know, in early days, there were a lot of things we didn't understand about why his fine motor skills were so poor. Like all the kids had their Game Boys and Leap Pads, and he visually couldn't do it and couldn't use his hands very well. So when the iPad came out, it was just this amazing learning tool. And so we started a support group of in a therapy clinic of speech therapists and OTs and different parents of young kids, kids who had cerebral palsy, kids who had autism, kids who had other genetic disorders. And we were all just kind of amazed about how this technology was engaging with our kids. Our kids were doing therapy. They were reaching their goals faster. They were just highly motivated. And that is kind of how we got started, of professionals and parents trying to figure stuff out together. Lots of trial and error.
And so kind of inspired by your experience as a parent and kind of helping to navigate your own journey while helping other parents who maybe are coming kind of behind you, which that resonates really well with me, because that's, while I don't have an app or work with apps specifically, that was sort of the way that everything I'm doing was born. Was, you know, I started out trying to find ways to just better cope with the stress. And so I was writing on a blog that I thought was private and wasn't very private, like, at all. And it turns out that even like my darkest thoughts that you would think, and then you feel bad for thinking, but you would definitely never say it out loud or share it with anybody else. Like, I was writing all that stuff down because, I mean, it wasn't like terrible, but like, you know, just stuff that is, you feel like you should be better as a parent, I guess. But it was comforting for other people, you know, to connect with that and find out that they're not the only people who thought that. And so it just turned into this kind of mission to help people navigate the things that I've already been through. And it kind of seems like that's sort of the premise with what you guys are doing.
Very similar. I don't have a technology background, and we don't create apps at Bridging Apps. We vet, we curate, we get suggestions from the community, from teachers and app developers and assistive technology professionals. But back at the time, I had another job, and I was just doing this on the side. My co-founder and I were just doing this on our spare time, and we I believe there's a fire alarm going off.
I'm telling you, this stuff is like real. It's real life. Is it? You have.
I'm in my clinic.
Okay. All right. So then we can just pick this back up when you get back.
I'm not going to touch anything. Is that okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll take that stuff out. The break, though, is real life stuff, though. So that's, you're fine. I'll just.
I'm okay. Next to our clinic, so I probably have to go help some of the kids get out.
You go do that. Priorities. I'll be right here.
I'll be back.
All right. Thanks. Okay. So just real quick, like, this is real life, guys. Like, I do this from my house, and, you know, there's a lot of people that I speak with who are parents, or they have a lot of priorities that are, you know, important. And life happens. And so Kristen is now dealing with a fire alarm, and she's going to go make sure that the kids are okay and getting them out. You can hear that in the background. And we're just going to go ahead and pause the recording, and we'll pick it back up as soon as she gets back. Okay, so we're back, and I trust everything is okay?
Everything is okay.
All right. That's good. That's good. It's real life. And before we,
it's real life.
When, after you'd walked away, and I'm just sitting here like staring at the screen, I'm thinking, like, you know, like, this is just real life stuff. Like, we don't, you know, like, if it's not something like this, it's one of my kids barging in, you know, to talk about something that's like super important that could have waited probably 10 years for me to know, you know, and it's just real life. So I think in the advent of COVID, all of the video conferencing and kids, people working from home and just the everyday life stuff. So you have nothing to apologize for. I'm glad everybody's okay. And that was pretty quick. So
thank you. Yes. My office is next to our therapy clinic in school. And so we have to have these drills more often than average. And a lot of the kids are medically fragile. They have sensory issues. And so it is a big deal. And safety is like super important. So we do them frequently, but I did not see this on the schedule. So, you know, we just go with it. Like you said, super flexible.
That's right. All right. So we were talking about bridging apps. So your experience as a parent sort of helped you to kind of see that there was a need, I guess, basically, and then navigate that and create something that was not already there to help other parents. What was that like for you?
Right. So, you know, it's, as I look back on it, it's super selfish, but in a good way. So I was trying to figure this out, just like all of us parents and caregivers and grandparents raising kids were, you know, trying to do their best and figure things out. And especially having a child with a disability, that's just even more compounded. It's just more complex. And when, you know, we started a website with the purpose of literally just writing a blog and starting to review apps that were helpful, that we found helpful for our kids. For example, my son, like I said, because of his visual impairment and really, really low fine motor, there was no way he was ever going to use a computer mouse. He just can't, or a trackpad. So a lot of the basic educational games and video games just he couldn't do. But having a touch tablet, right, where there's no interface between you and that and him, it was just a game changer. He could do things independently that he had never been able to do before. And so we thought that was so important. So we came at it from a visual kind of fine motor standpoint. And then other therapists and other parents were figuring things out for their kids with visual impairments, their kids with autism, their kids with cerebral palsy. And most of it, of course, for that age was more therapeutic in nature or educational. Like, hey, which apps are going to help for speech? Why does my child want to imitate this little character so much? And let's figure out which apps were super helpful for kind of advancing their development, helping them be more social, believe it or not, at that age. And so we just put everything that we were learning just in person. It was just trial and error and putting this on the website and then realized, oh my goodness, there's such a need. And I think we realized it after we posted an app review, and we had parents of adult children with different types of disabilities saying, oh my goodness, I downloaded this app and it's been so helpful because my child is nonverbal, for example, and they were able to communicate with this picture system on this free app that I was able to find. So we just saw, okay, this is really a big deal and we want to do this and invest more time in it. And that is kind of how we started to share what we were learning and then kind of engage the community and get expertise and get contributions from other people who were experimenting in different industries. So like psychologists who were using technology and different apps and special ed teachers and therapeutic coaches, ABA specialists and things like that. So it's been a labor of love.
So the reception from parents has been very positive.
It has been. And most of our users are parents or caregivers.
Okay. And so tell me about how the Easter Seals got involved, because I think most people are kind of familiar with the Easter Seals and they're a very reputable organization. And I've worked with them before. How did you get involved with them?
So we are based out of Houston, Texas, which is a really, really large metropolitan area, which is also why we started the support group and started the website, was to share information on the website when parents couldn't come because it's so hard to drive around here. It's just, you know, traffic and transportation barriers and parents who had kids who are medically fragile. So we put as much as we could on the website, and Easter Seals happened to see it and was really intrigued. Easter Seals Greater Houston saw it and contacted us and invited us to come kind of share what our goals were. We were going to start our own nonprofit, and I'm so glad we didn't because it was kind of a no-brainer when Easter Seals said, we think this is super important. We want to invest in it. We want to spread the word. We want to grow it because this technology, you know, commercially available smartphones and tablets just were game changers because some assistive technologies are so expensive. And so it was really just an opportunity, I think. And now they've become so ubiquitous and they don't replace all assistive technologies, of course, traditional ones. But so many people can leverage what they're using, you know, leverage what some of the things they already have by just having a little bit of education and knowledge about what apps could be helpful for different things.
So how do you guys decide what apps to review? Are they suggested to you, or are they requested, or do companies like reach out to you, or do you just sort of, I mean, apps are coming out all the time. How do you decide like what is going to be something that you guys focus on?
That's a great question. And so literally all of those things, we have app developers who want us to review their apps. So any developers out there, if you have an app that's helpful for disability or the special needs community, we'd love to hear from you. Teachers and parents, either they're using one and they think it's great and they don't see a review on our website, so they want us to review it. We get suggestions from our staff. We get suggestions from the community. People can contact us all different places, with different suggestions. We have a vetting process for whether or not we think it may be helpful. Sometimes we get developers with kind of crazy apps that have nothing to do with our, you know, parents, caregivers, people with disabilities. And so we add that to a database. Mm-hmm. Our database right now is about 2,500 apps.
Oh, wow.
That sounds like a lot. But as you already alluded to, apps come and go. Apps go out of the App Store every day, mm-hmm. and apps come in the App Store, in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, all of the time. So we don't even claim to keep up with it. But what we do is we do our best to find the apps and solutions that are the most useful for our community. And then we try to find experts to review them.
This episode of the Autism Dad Podcast is brought to you by Victorware. Did you know that 85% of autistic people are either unemployed or underemployed? It's a staggering statistic that Tiffany Hamilton and her autistic son Isaiah are working very hard to address with Victorware. Victorware is an inspirational clothing line that inspires resilience and triumph over obstacles. Their stylish, super soft, colorful tees sport positive and affirming slogans. They want anyone wearing the VW Flame logo to see it as a badge of courage. Victorware is warrior wear for those who rise above their personal challenges. Because it's not about how hard you fall, it's about whether or how you get back up. That's what being a victor is all about. Tiffany and Isaiah's goal for Victorware is to become a leading employer and source of empowerment for autistic individuals. And 10% of each and every product sold supports Special Olympics Virginia. To learn more or order your own Victorware shirt or hoodie, visit victorware.com. That's VICTORWEAR.com and use the promo code TheAutismDad at checkout to save 10% off your entire order. Okay, so that was going to be my next question, is how does the review process work? Like, what, when you're vetting, because I do that on a much smaller scale because I'm one person, mm-hmm. right? And so there's a small list of companies and products and services that I have aligned myself with because I really believe in what they're doing. I've used the stuff myself. There's a lot of like fly by night, and there's a lot of scams and people preying on desperate parents. How do you guys review the apps? Like, what is that process like?
That's a great question. And in the early, 2010, 2011, 2012, I kind of refer to that time as the wild, wild west of app development. So early on, hundreds and thousands of apps that were available early, there was a lot of money to be made. And many developers, for better or worse, put autism in their title and it sold, because parents were desperate to help their kids. Yeah. And if you had autism in your title, it just was downloaded, regardless of what you were charging. So, so we have some people on our Bridging App staff who do our reviews, but every reviewer is part of the Bridging Apps community, and they are just in different disciplines. So for example, if we add the app like Khan Academy, for example, or an educational app, Inspiration Maps is another good one. If we get an app that's educational in nature, we'll find a teacher or special education teacher to review it. And we have a form that's not too cumbersome. We've kind of revamped our process to make it a little easier to do just the very important parts of, who the app is best for, what the app does, a little summary. We do some of our own videos. Mm-hmm. And so each reviewer goes through, fills out a form, and that feeds into our database. And then we add a few things to it and then publish it. So literally every day we're publishing an app review. We have a newsletter. So some of the top top ones go out in our newsletter, and they're all different types. So again, if there's one that's autism specific, we might get a speech therapist to do it if it's a speech therapy app, or an ABA therapist. There are a lot of task analysis apps out there. And so we try to match them up, and we're always looking for reviewers again. So if you're in one of these industries that serves people with disabilities and helps people with different abilities, and you're interested in sharing your knowledge, it's not a cumbersome process. But one requirement we do have, to your point that there are a lot of scams out there, is that we do require that you trial the app and use it before you write your review. So we also have caregivers and people themselves with disabilities doing app reviews. We have people with autism, adults with autism, who write some of the reviews. We have a reviewer who is blind, who does reviews for the vision impaired community, and et cetera.
Is there a cost for people to use your website and browse through everything, or is this a free service? Like how does that work?
It is absolutely free. So bridgingapps.org is our main site, and right on the homepage there is something called App Search, and that's the database. But there are all kinds of things, other helpful things on the website. We do run a blog of all kinds of things that we post. Like if we find a new piece of equipment or an accessory that goes with a smartphone or tablet, we put that on there. You can create a free account, but you don't have to create an account to use the resources there. Everything is free. The only cost we have is if you happen to be in the Houston area, and we do a specialized type of evaluation for communication with the speech therapist, but everything else is free. We want it to be free. We also typically have not taken money from developers so that we can be free to write what we want. We will take promo codes. So for some of the apps that have a cost, especially the higher end, more complex communication apps that lots of people who are nonverbal can benefit from, we appreciate promo codes, but otherwise we are completely grant funded. We sit around writing a lot of grants to make it free, to keep it free, and to share it with people who really need it.
So where do you see yourself like 5 years from now? What would you like to see Bridging Apps like grow and do within the next couple of years? Like what do you envision ultimately?
So what we have seen over the years goes back to that Wild Wild West of app development. Is what we're seeing is lots of things are going away and lots of app developers are consolidating because the game is now to be sustainable. So you may have the best idea in the world and the greatest app, but if you're like a mom and pop shop, the costs sometimes of maintaining an app are so high that they have to figure out a plan to sustain themselves. So we've seen apps being acquired. We've seen apps go away and come back. And so what I think as things are settling down, as far as kind of the better ones and the ones that have figured that out are going to be around for a long time, we're moving more into training. And so we did a lot of that before COVID, and we've done a lot of that since COVID, and plan to create more of our own videos. We have some online on-demand courses that are self-paced. So depending on kind of where you are in your journey. So a lot more training of taking the technology and really showing people how to use them for their particular situation. So, you know, at the very beginning, many people just wanted that, you know, parents, and you can't blame them. They just want that silver bullet of thing that's going to be the most helpful. And the hard answer is there isn't just one thing. So when people ask us about, you know, what are the best apps for this? I say, you know, best for who? There are so many factors that go into, and then your child and your loved one also grows and develops. So we want to kind of spend more resources and time in helping people connect the dots with their unique situation and finding technologies and helping them use it and leverage that as things in their life changes. Because my goodness, change is inevitable.
Is there an age group that you guys sort of cater apps to, or is it for all ages? You know what I mean? So it's not like apps for little kids. There's apps that might help older kids or even adults maybe.
There are. And so again, when we started, all of us had young kids. And then kind of our light bulb moment was when these adults and then parents of adult children with different, you know, intellectual disability or developmental disability were saying, hey, this ChoiceWorks app, this ChoiceWorks calendar app is amazing. And it's not necessarily designed, you know, for adults. So it really depends on kind of what you're looking for and what the needs are. Mm-hmm. And so we go literally all ages and all disabilities. So an app that's good for somebody with autism often is good for other disabilities as well, because it's really the skill and the function and maybe the deficits mm-hmm. that you're looking to help leverage. So executive functioning, right? Lots of us in general, but kids and adults with autism have trouble with executive function, right? And so you need really good scheduling apps, but maybe you don't like the app that has pictures in it. You just want a text-based app to do a visual schedule, for example, or checklists and things. There are lots of different solutions depending on different preferences. So older adults, we've done a lot of like mental health apps and relaxation and leisure apps that are appropriate both for kids as well as older adults. We work with a lot of veterans. I'm a veteran myself. And so we do a lot of work with mental health, relaxation, stress reduction. We have a clinician team. So we're kind of in all these different areas, mm-hmm. but we do have a lot for young kids because that's where we started.
Thank you for your service, for one thing.
Thank you for your support.
Well, you're welcome. What is the best way for people to find you guys?
Literally through the website, whether you're a parent and you want some guidance, bridgingapps.org.
Okay.
We have a help tab at the top. We're on all the social channels. Lots of people reach out to us that way. If you're a developer, we have a whole developer section. You can submit your app. If you are interested in being a reviewer, there's a section on reviewers where it says become a reviewer. We would love to hear from all of you. So again, whatever way you engage, lots of people don't want a newsletter in their inbox, but we have this really great newsletter that's a roundup of all the things we do during the week. Or you can, if you're a Facebook person, Instagram person, mm-hmm. we post to all the channels where you can kind of browse things. And sometimes it's what I would say too, to parents, it's things are overwhelming.
Yeah.
Right. And if I say that we manage a database of 2,500 apps, okay, that's overwhelming.
You do it so we don't have to.
Right. And so that's the whole goal of bridgingapps.org is a shortcut. If I had to summarize this in one word, we're a shortcut. So you can come and browse in whatever way is comfortable. Some people just come and browse our curated lists, like apps, you know, autism apps for scheduling, mm-hmm. autism apps for calming, autism apps for task analysis, for example, or you can just type in by keyword. Lots of parents type in by their kid's diagnosis, or you can search by category. You can search by price. So lots of different options to come in and just kind of browse and explore to see what's out there. And we do run a help desk. So we answer questions all the time and, you know, would love to hear from listeners and would love for people to try it out.
Is the app database sort of a mix of apps that are free to use and some are paid, like premium apps as well? So it's
great question. Yes and yes.
Okay.
And so if it was funny when we started, one of our first iterations was to be able to allow users to search by price, because a lot of teachers were using our search tool mm-hmm. and they had no budget. They're like, just show me free stuff. So you can search just by zero cost. All the way up, probably the most expensive app in our database is maybe $300 and $320. Mm-hmm. And typically those are the ones for what we call augmentative communication.
Yeah, like AAC.
So somebody's
apps.
Nonverbal.
Yeah.
Right. AAC apps, whether it's for autism or there are probably about 200 of those around, maybe even more, but it ranges. So again, if that's typically we try to put the information in, but apps change their prices often. And we're actually entering the season in October of AAC Awareness Month is coming up. And just a little tip for parents out there or therapists, that a lot of those apps go on major sales in the month of October.
Okay.
In honor of those awareness months.
So we should connect in October or even prior to October to help raise some awareness for that as well, because I know cost is an obstacle, you know, and if you can get something that is, you know, on sale or at a discount for whatever reason, then it's nice to know those things are there so that you can get something that maybe you couldn't afford otherwise.
Absolutely. And again, if you're on socials or just follow our blog too, we typically post all of those sales, as many as we can find. Sometimes we do a little infographic that shows you the names of them. And like, sometimes they go on sale for a week, sometimes just like 2 days. Mm-hmm. It's also Down Syndrome Awareness Month in October. And so some of the other educational apps also slash their prices. And many, again, as we talked about, to be sustainable, many developers have had to go to a subscription. Mm-hmm. It's great for them that they're going to be around. But, you know, for parents, sometimes it's just cost prohibitive, you know, just too much.
Yeah. And I do like, you know, when I work with a company, there's sort of app and tech companies that I tend to do a lot of work with. And I try to work with everybody to provide some kind of discount code or, you know, something to just kind of make it easier for parents to afford. Because there's, you know, I mean, it's bad enough, like if there's nothing available, right, to help you with your problem. It's worse when there is something that is available, but it's unattainable because of a price point or a paywall or something like that. So,
right.
Is there anything else you wanted to just share with parents?
You know, I would just, for us and for our family, mm-hmm. again, because my son, as all human beings are, we're all complex. I've gone to a lot of support groups over the years because of his different diagnoses. And my biggest piece of advice, which I try to live every day, is just try things. So much of it is trial and error. And as a parent, just don't beat yourself up. Just don't beat yourself up. You try something, it doesn't work. You try something, it doesn't work. And then you try something and it works and it's helpful. And it's just, you know, not being afraid to try. And it's really good modeling and good living, I think, for your kids. My kid has so many different types of needs, but I think he's got a really rich, meaningful life. It's not because of technology, but I'll tell you what, technology has played a huge role in not just him using it, but us as a family being able to advocate for him. That's what I would say.
And again, it's just bridgingapps.org, right?
Yes.
All of the information will be in the show notes below, so people can just click on that and go check you guys out. I think that, you have absolutely, literally nothing to lose. It's a free service. You know, if you're trying to, locate apps that are useful for, you know, something that you need and you don't want to just kind of like browse the however many hundreds of thousands or millions of apps are out there. You have a place to start, right? And you can, you know, that the feedback on those apps is provided by people who are experienced with what you're looking for help with, you know, so, and it's totally free.
It's totally free. And again, you know, going and looking and searching, and then maybe you download three different apps and they don't work for your needs. Come back and try other things. Mm-hmm. Because we've had to do a lot of, I hate the word pivot now because of COVID. We've had to do a lot of pivoting and shifting and changing and trying this thing. And if it didn't work, trying something else that's similar. And again, just the individual preference and involving your child in that process of introducing something and, working hard. It doesn't necessarily all come easy. But our goal at Bridging Apps is to be a shortcut so that you don't have to Google search all day long or search in the app store and just kind of wonder whether or not this would be helpful or not. At least on our website, the apps have been vetted. Mm-hmm. So they're relevant to our community. They've been looked at and trialed by someone who's got some training and expertise, and an app that is my favorite may not be another person on my team's favorite or another parent, but it may work for their family for different reasons because mm-hmm. there are a lot of factors that go into what makes something helpful for achieving goals and improving life.
The world we live in now, everything is app driven. It's nice to have a place where you can go and at least get pointed in the right direction. You know, at least narrow down the search to a place where it's manageable, you know, and you're not so overwhelmed trying to just go in blind and figure out, you know, whatever from the millions of, you know, options that are out there. So I appreciate that as a parent. And I'm sure a lot of people out there who are listening, who are learning about this for the first time will appreciate that as well. And again, all the information will be in the show notes below. So you guys can just kind of click on that and go, you know, check them out and find the apps that you or your kid need to kind of improve your quality of life and just make things a little bit easier every day. So thank you, Kristen, for taking the time to come on the show. I do appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for this podcast. I've learned so much just by listening.
Thank you very much. And we'll definitely be in touch because I want to help out with this any way that I can. I think it's important. And yeah, so we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Before I close things out, I want to just take a moment and say thank you to Kristen, first of all, for sharing your story about your family and your son and your journey as a mom. And thank you for bridging apps. Thank you for helping parents like myself and the countless others out there to navigate this ever-growing ecosystem of apps that is overwhelming, right? And helping us to connect with the ones that can improve the quality of life of both ourselves, our families, and our children with disabilities. So thank you for everything that you're doing. I'm so glad that the Easter Seals saw the value in what you're doing and have taken you guys on, and you're working together to do very positive things. And I'm grateful for it. So thank you. You guys can find Bridging Apps at bridgingapps.org. All of the information will be in the show notes below. You can just click on that and go check them out. Remember, it's completely free. None of this costs you anything. And that's amazing because there's nothing worse than having a solution to a problem that is unattainable. So thank you again. As for me, you can find me at listen.theautismdad.com, where you can interact with this podcast. You can join discussions, leave comments and feedback, submit questions or show suggestions or topic ideas, or maybe even you want to be a guest. You can apply to be a guest. I want to say thank you to my sponsors who help make this possible. I appreciate each and every one of you. So guys, please check them out if you get a moment. And lastly, you can find this podcast on any one of your favorite podcast listening apps. Just hit that subscribe button. I would really appreciate that. I hope that you guys have a fantastic week, and I look forward to talking to you on Friday. All right, take care.